You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Maybe. I don't know. It is, this week we're using this time to just recover. Rejuvenate, because we have been doing 30 days of Women's World Cup coverage. We're taking a little break, but we wanted to make sure we gave you something this week to hold you over, especially if maybe we did a lot of episodes throughout the month, so maybe you missed some episodes. We basically want to take this time to, you know, since we were talking about Women's World Cup, to also mention Leagues Cup, because obviously Leagues Cup happened. Inter Miami ended up winning the whole thing, but Lionel Messi, I don't know if you heard of this guy, pretty popular, but we spoke about him quite a bit. And given that he is that famous of a figure, and some people may have missed some episodes in between, sandwiched between some of the Women's World Cup coverage, we wanted to make sure we gave that to you. So here, this is what this is. This is going to be a nice Leagues Cup special, catch you up on everything that happened in this very, very wild tournament. And, you know, also the official beer sponsor for Leagues Cup is Coors Light, which happens to be right there, right above me. So we had a great time talking about it. It was weird that it was also all of this craziness was happening during the World Cup at the same time. But, it is what it is, okay? FIFA, FIFA's calendars are crazy. They don't care what's going on. So here it is. There's a couple things, just a heads up. What you're going to be hearing? You're going to be hearing a lot of Leagues Cup stuff, a lot of messy stuff, and an interview that we did with Carlos Vela before Leagues Cup began. And you'll see how friendly we are with Carlos Vela. I didn't realize we were going to just become homies. But this is the second time we got a chance to speak to him. And it was nice to reconnect with an old friend like Carlito. So thank you again to everybody who tuned in to the Women's World Cup coverage. We appreciated it. We got a lot of love, a lot of support. And as a reminder, if you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the Cooligans podcast. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I've been giving shout outs to everybody. If you leave a nice review, a fun review, a funny review, feel free to do that, and you might get a shout out. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Now, here it is. Here's our little compilation of all our Leagues Cup coverage. Cheers.
I mean, what an honor. A return
Look
to the Cooligans.
We couldn't be apart for too long. This is how last year we met him at MLS All-Star, and I guess we had a budding friendship that we had to, reignite.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? It's only fair. I mean, this gentleman, first of all, one of the most exceptional players, okay, in the league. But also will not stop texting us. When am I going to be back on your show? So the day is today, ladies and gentlemen, the star of LAFC, the one, the only Carlitos Vela, everybody.
Carlos, what's up, man?
What's up? What's up? How are you guys?
I'm here.
Finally back.
I know you've been missing us.
You get my text, right?
Yes, the feeling is mutual. Happy to have you on the show.
I just love that people now think we have Carlos Vela's number, which is really great.
We do not. There's no way. We have to communicate with people who communicate with people who communicate with people who communicate with Carlos. That's how it works.
Several layers. It's like Inception, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, Carlos. I honored, obviously, to talk to you again. Leagues Cup is coming up, and this is an exciting time, not only for Major League Soccer, for Liga MX, But also just to have this new tournament, I know you are a person who have, you know, you obviously, you know, Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League, you're obviously used to playing against a lot of Liga MX clubs. Now in this kind of tournament, what's the mindset like? How do you guys want to showcase yourself for such a big tournament like this?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's really excited because it's a new tournament. Nobody knows exactly how we'll work. So always you are a little bit concerned about where we will play against who. So I think a lot of good things will come for sure. But, you know, when you play a tournament is new, always it's cool to say we are the first team to win that tournament. So I think that is the most excitement we have right now. And of course, we are ready. We are ready to fight. Of course, we are ready to make a good show for the fans and create a good league. I think it's the most important part.
Now, I remember when you first came into the league. I'm a big Arsenal fan, so I remember your time at Arsenal. I remember you at La Liga. You came into this league. I remember there being a moment that was shared with all the fans where your coach at the time, Bob Bradley, said, I want you to be the Lionel Messi of LAFC. Well, now Lionel Messi wants to be the Carlos Vela of Inter Miami, okay? And the rumor is that this will be his first competition. Well, I know you haven't played in this competition, but just playing against Liga MX clubs, you've been successful in the past doing that CONCACAF Champions League. What advice would you give to Messi about playing against Liga MX clubs?
Well, I think that question no has an answer because what I can say to Messi, who can say something to Messi? That's the question. Like, I think he just have to do what he's doing in the 20 years ago past
right.
years playing. So he's the best player in this sport. So for sure, he will enjoy to be here. He will make a great thing for Miami, for the league. But of course, we're still the champion. So it's the only thing I can say. I have more titles than Messi in the MLS. It's the only
thing right.
I can say better than Messi.
And you got to remind him.
I actually think that's good advice for life. If you don't know what you're doing, if something maybe worries you, just think to yourself, hey, be messy. And at the end of the day, I think you'll be okay.
I just love the idea. Because a lot of time people think of, especially in Argentina, people think of Messi as a god. So it's like almost, what advice are you going to give to God? You know what I mean? I'm sure he's all set.
Of course. Everybody knows that. Like, he can do whatever he wants and he will be good.
Right. I mean, as far as his impact on the league, I mean, you know, there are few times in American soccer where we have these just absolute meteors of people that can change the outlook and the landscape of what the sport even looks like. You know, we had it with David Beckham and now having it with Messi. What's the locker room conversations like about this guy? Is it basically like a rising tide lifts all boats? Like, all right, Messi's coming here. I'm sure all of our wages are going to be going up, right? Because MLS is going to be doing well. Or is it like, man, I really want to play against this guy and really kind of because I know the world is watching.
Well, I mean, I think both. We have a lot of players in the locker room, so you have a different minds.
Yeah.
So some part we know, like Messi coming here will be a big impact for the league, for us, because more people will watch it. MLS, who beat Miami, who beat Messi, who win the champions. So, of course, you win in important in the world about MLS. But also, like you say, it's a cool idea to say, oh, every week if you beat Messi, we'll be around the world. So
right.
That is a little bit extra excitement to your motivation and play good. I mean, in the end, you have to do your best. And you have, if you want to beat Messi, you have to be better team because better player, of course, we cannot. But better team, we can do.
What advice does Steve Cherundolo give to you about playing in yet another knockout tournament like, you know, League's Cup, especially coming in the middle of the season, which is different. A lot of times when you compete in Champions League, you have to do it at the beginning of the season. It's not easy, even though you've obviously proven your guys can be successful at it. What about coming in the middle of a season like this?
I mean, in the end, when you play knockout, you can think about the next game. You have to win your game. You have to be 100% about that game. And after that, you can think, to the next. If you start to think, oh, we can rest some guys for the next game, you will not pass the round. You have to be like, I put the best I have right now, and then we see tomorrow what happens. So in the end, you have to leave every single game as a final, because it's like that. You have to win every single game if you want to be the champion.
Right. And, you know, obviously last season was incredible for LAFC. I mean, that MLS Cup final is literally one of the greatest games of football, I think, that we've ever seen. As far as being a part of that game, we haven't got a chance to speak to you about this, but that we talk about this all the time. We talk about anybody who was at the game, whether it was a fan, whether it was a player. I'm like, what was it like for you? But obviously watching that game, I know you were subbed off a lot late in the game, so you obviously had to watch it. But what was that experience like in winning an MLS Cup in that fashion?
I mean, it was crazy. Like you say, it was crazy game. I think I touched all the feelings in the same game. I was happy, sad, crying, smiling, laughing. So everything in 3 minutes. So it was something like nobody expect, but it's something cool. Like in the end, I always say, when you create a good show for the people, you also enjoy that. So I think that final was amazing. And of course, I say that because we win. But right. I don't think the Philadelphia guys think the same like me. But
no.
But for sure, it's something like everybody remember, because everybody enjoy. Of course, when you are in, you feel more hard, all the feelings. But I think that day was like crazy for everybody. Everybody was really happy to pay a ticket to go and watch that game.
I'm curious, what was the, like, maybe you got a text from somebody that watched the game that were like, I can't believe, like, what was the craziest person that you didn't think would be watching that watch that you're like, I can't believe I'm hearing from them? I don't know.
Honestly, when we win, I forget my phone. I don't touch my phone that
day. Really?
Well, 3 days, I don't touch their phone.
Wow.
Asking nobody. In the end, my family was there, my wife, my kids, the rest, like, okay, they can wait. Now I have to celebrate. So
somewhere there's
I don't remember. If I text somebody, I don't remember.
Somewhere there's like a really important former player who's like, damn, man, I guess Carlos Vela don't like me. He's not responding to my text.
For sure, it was a lot of people saying that.
Right.
That's amazing. How does Carlos Vela celebrate?
I was just saying, we texted you and you responded to us, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You did get right back to us, which is really cool.
Of course.
How does Carlos Vela celebrate? Let's say you win the League's Cup. How do you celebrate?
Honestly, you were surprised, because right now, this age with wife, kids, you can do the same thing. Like if I win with 20 years.
Right.
So now if I tell you, you will say, what a boring guy. So it's better to don't say nothing. Now you think something special in your head.
Yeah. We're like, yo, he's at the club. Meanwhile, it's just him taking a nap.
Sure. Like I was after dinner, I was like, oh, I'm tired, I go to sleep.
Are you a nap guy? You like naps?
No, I don't. I don't like it.
Okay. No. Yeah, just all business all day.
Let's get punch in, punch out, bro.
Wolf.
I want to talk a little bit about LAFC season this time around. And you know, it's obviously a bummer given obviously the you know, El Tráfico at the Rose Bowl didn't go the way you planned. But that was a remarkable game. To have that many fans for an MLS match is like not something we're really used to seeing. But for El Tráfico starting to become the marquee kind of matchup that kind of everyone in the United States like sort of needs to watch, getting to be a part of that story, how's that feeling nowadays, even though sometimes the results don't go your way?
No, honestly, it was a great game. I think it was way better than I expect, because in the end, when you go to different stadium, big stadium, you don't know exactly how the fan will respond. But what's coming back, the stadium was full. Half of the stadium was white, the other was black. So a lot of craziness about that game. Of course, the game also was a good game with emotions, goals. In the end, we couldn't draw in the last minute. So it was a really good game. I think a lot of people enjoy the game. And for sure, it's like a point mark to say, oh, we can make that market bigger and bigger. So I think the league is getting, like I always say, it's getting better. So when you get better like that and you think, oh, this is too good, how we can do better, and you find a way to do it, it's something like, oh, this is special. So you have to keep working on that. And in the end, like I say, to create that expectation, you have to make a good game. You have to do a good show for the fans. So yeah. I think it's the most important thing. Every game against Galaxy, we always have a lot of goals, emotion, like good goal, good play. So the people is expecting that. So we don't have to lose that to keep going and keep growing as a derby.
Yeah, I love the it's on the field, off the field. I mean, we had the Chiellini, Ricky Puig, Payaso thing, and I love the it's a little novella.
Something happens. Always something happens.
I want to ask about, and we can make this the last question, or if you have one more question, but I want to ask the rivalry, not just between LA Galaxy, but between some of the Liga MX clubs. Recently, we heard Gignac, a legend for Tigres over in Liga MX, say that he thought the Mexican League was more proper football, and I'm paraphrasing, but that MLS was more all marketing. Did that reach you guys? Does that inspire you guys when you play some of these Liga MX clubs?
No, honestly, I respect his opinion. Of course, I don't think the same, but it's just like other guy talking about his things or how he see the league. But for us, the important thing is like when we play in tournament, do a good job, play good, beat Mexican teams, and of course, fight for titles. In the end, it's the most important. When you win something, you can prove you are doing well. If you start to lose and semifinal, finals is all Mexican team, for sure they will say they are better league. So you have to prove in this tournament or every tournament you play against other leagues to show how good you are as a league. I think is the most important, and for sure will be a good test for both leagues to show where we are.
Yeah,
wow. I mean, Carlos is a chill guy, like just like Coors Light, super chill.
The best way.
This car is helping me.
Yeah, it's relaxing you.
I wonder if this is my last question. The banter, is there a lot of banter between you and when you play against a Liga MX club? Obviously, being a Mexican player and obviously an important player in Mexico as well. Given like Gignac, his comments, do you hear the same things on the pitch? Like, oh, you know, you're just playing for MLS. You're not really playing where you know, is there really a lot of trash talking about even what league you play in when you are playing against a Liga MX club?
No, honestly, when you are in, of course you can talk bad things about anybody, but not about the league. It's more about against who you are playing or something like you can get him out of the game. I think it's like the same thing happened here when you play against other MLS team or when it's a Mexican team. The most important is like when you play there, all the fans are like trying to be against me. Even I'm Mexican, always I'm the target for all the fans in Mexico. But it's something, it's part of the game. It's part of what we are doing there. Or when they come here, we will do the same. You have to be prepared for that kind of thing. You have to be mentally strong to get up on all that things and just focus in do your job and do what you do best.
Amazing.
That's good advice, dude. Thank you so much for being on our show, man.
Carlos, take care. Best of luck. Cuídese. Best of luck in
take care. And stop texting me, please.
Messi played in his first game for Inter Miami, and holy smokes, scores in the 92nd minute off a free kick. I mean, you couldn't write this stuff up. It was surreal. And then the first thing, you know, also Robert Taylor scoring that goal. And everyone was like, he's like, Messi who? Messi what?
Yeah. He's like, y'all came to see me, right? Because I just scored a goal last
goal. It was a great goal. Cruz Azul ties the game. But then Messi, after Messi comes in, they tie the game. And, you know, this game, I thought, credit to Inter Miami, I thought they were going to get absolutely washed. I thought they were going to get humiliated. And they played well. They defended well. They even had, you know, it's a terrible bummer for Ian Frey. It looks like he tore his ACL.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
And even and credit to Messi. Messi in his post-game comment, as everybody's trying to praise him and show him love and appreciation for scoring this goal, he met Ian Frey 5 minutes ago. And he's like, yeah. I just want to dedicate this win to my teammate. You know, he just recovered from an ACL tear, and it looks like it's pretty much happened again. So you could tell the he was devastated when it happened, and Messi showing love to this kid, man. So
the one thing about Messi is you get the sense that he wants to be a teammate. I'm sure you heard the DeAndre Yedlin anecdote, right? Mm-hmm. About him being in the group chat with nobody knowing. How many tickets do you need? Yeah. You could tell that he's, when you talk to professional footballers who've retired, a lot of them say they miss the locker room. They miss that family atmosphere, being surrounded by 30 guys at the same time. Like, everyone get friends and maybe not, you don't get along with everyone, but it's part of the whole thing. And you always have people to talk to. It's a very social thing to be a footballer. You get the sense that Messi kind of thrives on that as well. Like, we don't ever get to see that Messi. Messi really seems to trust the locker room more than he trusts anything else besides maybe his family. So, the fact that he was like, hey, man, this guy, it's like he knew him, from previous.
I don't want to do the whole Messi-Ronaldo thing all over again.
But Ronaldo would be like, you're welcome, boy scores.
But it's just obvious, like, Messi's a good teammate, bro. That's it. Like, yeah. I mean, he's a good guy to work with. You want to go, you want to sit next to his cubicle.
Right. He's not going to eat your lunch out of the fridge, dude.
He's just a good dude. So that was great to see. And obviously the U.S. Women's National Team game is on at the same time. I have both of them on. And, this was just one of the most remarkable moments in American soccer history. Like, and there's no other way to put it. This was just incredible. The photos. Shout out to Morgan Tenza, the homie. She's taking all these amazing photos of Messi after he scores the goal, capturing these incredible moments. So many friends, Kim Kardashian being there, LeBron.
Hey, Messi said, "What curse? What Kardashian curse?" Messi said, "How about this? How about this boot? I'll stop this curse ASAP."
I had read Pele's book, and Pele, when he spoke about coming to the United States and playing, and what that meant to him, like the responsibility of just like kind of growing the sport in the country. And when Messi scored that goal and he was celebrating, he went over to hug his family, and he was looking at
the literally ran almost. It felt like he was running the distance of the phone just to hug his family. It was beautiful.
And he was he was essentially like looking at there's something about the way he's looking at the fans. It's like he's looking at the fans the way he looks at Argentina, the Argentinian supporters, like where he's like, "I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you." And that's what it felt like, man. Just an incredible moment. Like I said, to witness, and hopefully see more of it. I mean, look, it feels like the start of something really, really transformative for American soccer.
Or this is as good as it's gonna get, and enjoy it. It's one of the two.
4th of July savings are happening now at the Home Depot. So get ready to go big with backyard barbecues for all your friends and family. Level up with the Next Grill 4-burner propane gas grill, now $199 from the Home Depot. Its extra large cooking surface is perfect for supersized entertaining. Take your grilling to the next level with 4th of July savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
We are talking about, we mentioned Leagues Cup. Obviously, we got to... Messi watch. Let's see what Lionel Messi is up to. He had his second match for Inter Miami against.
Let's say what happened. He's played 78 minutes so far. He hasn't even played a full 90.
He has not.
The man has 3 goals and I believe 2 assists.
He hasn't started a game for full 90, but he has played a total of 90 minutes. Definitely more 78. Than
78. Oh, yeah, no, 78 plus. Across both.
Yeah, yes. Across both. Yeah, he's played quite a few minutes.
I keep forgetting he came in the 54th minute first game.
Which was also pretty insane. Nobody really expected that, but it worked out.
It's crazy.
So, Inter Miami did face Atlanta United in Leagues Cup, and Leagues Cup has been entertaining. Some games,
it's the talk of the town, dude. Come on. It's DJ Khaled, Diddy, Camila Cabello.
Yeah.
Giggs. gigs is there? Not the soccer gigs. Hip-hop gigs. Raul Alejandro was there.
Right, right.
Rosalia was not. So sorry. I hope you guys get back together.
Is there an issue with them? Are they good?
Word on the street is they broke up.
No way. They were engaged. Yeah. Oh, I hate to see it. We're seeing DJ Khaled and Diddy on screen. My old boss, bro.
Yeah, this dude sniffed you, bro.
There's a whole thing about it, but yes.
You got to listen to the back catalog to find out what
the story, I'll let you know. But yes, Diddy sniffed me once. It was totally, I was on board. There was no
HR
issue.
Was there. It was totally cool.
But yeah, this was, I think in this picture, it's cut off a little bit, but Raul Alejandro is there as well. That's who Diddy is next to. And also DJ Khaled. So,
Camila Cabello was there. I think there was also a Colombian actress who I don't recognize, she's apparently very famous. Assad was there, DJ Khaled's kid, as the mascot.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't realize.
You didn't see this?
No.
He was the mascot in front of Messi, cried the entire time.
Amazing.
Messi had to console him.
Wow.
Bro, if you are a Miami celebrity, now's your chance to get Messi to console your child. Yeah. You just got to call. You got to call Jorge Mas and say, bro, I'm the mascot.
No, but, you know, that's one of those core memories. You know what I mean? Walking out with Messi and stuff like that. So,
just crying the entire time. I mean, who wouldn't cry if you were consoled by it? And to get a chance to be consoled
by it. I'm going to try to get Messi to hold my baby. Why not, you know?
Yeah, dude. Let's get Mateo in there. Come on.
Yeah, and Messi's son, his oldest son, is also named Mateo. So look at that, all right? They already got so much. He won't even know the difference. It's the same kid, basically.
Bro, you know what? Just swap with him, bro.
All right, so look, Messi had two goals, so did Robert Taylor. This is I you know, we
do you know how old Robert Taylor is?
He's young, right? He has to be like 23, 24.
He's 28 years old.
Get out of here.
Bro, everyone I say this to is shocked. He is a 28-year-old Finnish player. Well, I thought he was a 22-year-old American.
I thought so too. I do know he's from Finland. But my man ain't finished at all, dog.
No, hey. That'll leave a Denmark. Come on. The guy is 28 years old, bro. But I love the tweet you put out. It's like, who knew all we needed to do to unlock how good Robert Taylor was just put him next to the greatest player of all time. And, bro, he's trying things we've never seen him try.
Why don't – you could have done this before Messi got there. Bro, what are you doing?
You had all the time in the world.
You had this ability?
Dog, you had top bins? You had top bins, volley screamers?
What? I mean,
everyone's trying to impress Messi, bro. Look what I can do, Messi.
What kind of? I didn't know you had that feature built in. I thought that was extra.
It's when you play a video game, you're like, I never hit this button before. I didn't know this had that. The character did that move. But
yeah, Robert Taylor. We didn't know who was gonna benefit the most from Messi and Busquets arriving because
Roberto Taylor. Roberto.
Because was it Felipe Cardenas when on Morning Footy, I think he mentioned this stat that in the first game against Cruz Azul, Busquets made 14 passes or something like that, and 10 of them were to Messi. And so because I imagine it was just like, all right, well, I know that dude. I don't know these other.
I don't know what
dudes.
These dudes are gonna do. I know what that guy's gonna do.
I know what
do.
That guy's gonna do. So I'm gonna try to get it to him as much as possible.
I would even venture to guess that 3 out of the 4 other passes he called for right back after he passed someone else. He goes, nah, I don't like what he's doing. Give it back.
But that's been the wild thing. I look, Atlanta United, not the best defensive team in Major League Soccer. We know that. But, you know, they know that the midfield has Lionel Messi in there, has Busquets in there. Can we put a lid? I mean, I'm not saying 2-foot tackle them. You know, I'm not saying do
these
crazy challenges.
How about some pressure?
A little.
Go up there and say hello to Busquets, will you? Does he have bad breath? Why are you avoiding? Bro, Aaron West tweeted that Busquets kept checking where's the pressure coming, and it just never showed up. And there was one pass where they passed to Messi, And this dude had all the time in the world. He might have completed four dribbles before anyone got near him, which is a lot of dribbles in one moment. I mean, I get that Pachuca kind of got shit on a little bit for everyone sort of attacking or surrounding Messi as much as possible.
Cruz Azul, not Pachuca.
Cruz Azul had the tactic of like trying to deny Messi access to the ball.
Right.
Right. And people were saying that was very defensive. You didn't go after them. The rest of the team isn't that good. And Atlanta was like, let me show you why you're wrong. Everyone who said that.
But it's impressive. After watching these two games, they've how many times have they even trained together? Maybe four, five?
Five.
Right.
But I said six if you count the game against Atlanta, because that was essentially a training session.
Yeah, but it's I think the impressive part, and Joseph Martinez said this after the game, where he was talking about like treasuring this opportunity to play with a player like Messi, and that everybody wants to play their best and be ready to play for the team and play for him. But
makes sense.
But it's also like, why is everybody so good now? Miami were literally just a week ago a nightmare to watch. Constant mistakes, constant poor passes, poor defense, and now every single touch is flawless. Now they know exactly what to do.
Even the Robert Taylor, goal, it's like one-time volleys back and forth. I'm like, what is this, Arsenal, Giroud, and Wilshere versus Norwich?
Bro, I don't
know. When did y'all get this?
Because I understand that having, it's like LeBron. Having LeBron on your team, LeBron makes other players better. But right. The other players also already know how to like dribble and dunk and shoot generally,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. We've seen skill before. It's like, not out of Miami.
We weren't really seeing that before. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, all these players are playing with just an unbelievable level of confidence. And it's just so great to see. Even the way they're playing. Look at Joseph Martinez is playing kind of a false nine. He is really like not... He's not playing.
That's because of Tata Martino, though.
No. It's great to see because I think there is less of just like staying up and waiting for the ball to arrive or making like deliberate runs to kind of stretch the defense. It's really just like, yo, let's kind of mix it up in the midfield. We have Messi. We have Busquets. We can, like, get the ball out wide, like, perfect. It's just the quality of the passing is just so surreal. And the fact that nobody wants to pressure Messi and Busquets, they have all the time to get the ball to these wingers, bro.
This is my point. I thought a guy like Robert Taylor, Joseph Martinez, a lot of these other players would benefit from the fact that defenders – are keeping just tabs on Messi. No one kept tabs on Messi. This is how much the team wants to play well. Even the post wanted an assist.
Yeah, there was Ray Hudson said like that Messi did a 1-2 with the post.
Yeah. Bro, I was watching this game and I'm like, I don't even know if I should, because 9 o'clock hits. There's still like 15 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if I should go to bed because I already know what I'm going to see. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like no one cares. And then at one point, I think in like the second half, middle of the second half, they bring on another defensive player in Ozzy Alonso. Now, you know how much I love Ozzy Alonso.
Yeah.
You know how much I respect Ozzy Alonso. A Guano. But I'm sorry. No disrespect in any way, shape, or form. But you can't go, oh, Messi's killing us. Bring in the 37-year-old Cuban. Yeah, it's not what you want in a soccer game, bro. It's
probably not going to be the move that's going to get you, no, 3 points.
No, when you're losing in a baseball game, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, we need a left-handed hitter. You don't say, hey, bring me the Argentinian. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, all have our roles. You know what I'm saying?
Where stereotypes aren't really going to let you down. You know what I mean?
No. You could have brought any Argentinian in at that point, and it might have been better. No disrespect again than a 37-year-old Cuban. And hey, look, Ozzy's incredible. He's been amazing in MLS. But I asked Felipe this question, and I wanted to hear your thoughts. Are you starting to get the sense that the league is like, uh-oh? like, yeah, this is great. The Messi show's awesome. But this is kind of starting to make our league look a little bad. And how do we help the rest of these teams bring in players that can keep up with him a little more than our current roster?
I tweeted this.
Don't you think there's going to be some rules adjustments?
Yeah, yeah. I tweeted this. I just said like that, you know, every team is allowed a Messi jitters game, you know? Just the first one of just like, I don't want to foul him. I'm too nervous. I don't want to look bad.
Do you think he knows me? Did he notice me?
So I think that, you know, a lot of, you know, frankly, I think a lot of the Atlanta United players were starstruck, and I don't think they, you know, were mentally ready for that game. And you see it. I mean, even in Messi's second goal, I don't even know who was the defender that tracked back, but then Messi gets the ball to Robert Taylor. And instead of marking the runner, who is also Lionel Messi,
yeah,
he's like, oh, let me go after the guy with the ball. You're just chasing shadows at this point. You're just chasing the ball around. And
if you get a chance, we don't have the rights to show it, so we're not going to show the clip. But if you get the chance, go back to that goal you're talking about. You're talking about where Messi goes back to the middle of the box and scores. Watch that, because Miles Robinson, again, U.S. men's national team, one of the better center backs in our system. He gets spun so bad. It looks like he's learning to break dance. He's got one leg up, one leg back, both hands on the ground. It looks like he's playing Twister. He's like, you know what? This ain't for me. I might go pro in Twister, dog.
That's remarkable. Yeah, dude. It was completely poor at every kind of layer from up front. From Atlanta United, the midfield was a nightmare, and defending was just nowhere to be found. They're just one of the worst games that they've had this season, and they haven't really been that good this season. So you know, I think it's a lot of, even Atlanta United fans are going to chalk it up to like, yo, it's Messi, what are you going to do? But there's deeper problems with Atlanta United that should also be addressed.
I do just want to react very quickly to the League's Cup final. Nashville, they play at Geodis Park, and penalties in League's Cup have been, there have been so many penalties that I can't remember what year of League's Cup those penalties happened, and we've only had one League's Cup. So
everything's bleeding together. Honestly, like, I have Women's World Cup, into the League's Cup, weaved into now Premier League play.
There's too many, like, traumatic memories for 30 days. You know what I mean? There's too many, like, incredible moments, Messi arriving, crazy games with some of these Liga MX teams. But no, this final, we got to give credit to Nashville, because Nashville played Inter Miami better than any other club in this tournament, and you know, you would imagine, you know, when Busquets got there, when Messi got there, when Alba got, when they had, Messi played his first game and maybe trained once, twice, I think, at two,
yeah,
one
I think
or two training sessions,
once or twice,
so. Right? And then and then bangs in that free kick to win the game against Cruz Azul, and then. So it only got better over time. We had the game against FC Dallas, which was insane, a 4-4 game, and then they won in penalties. And then Orlando City, and then Philadelphia Union. But then this so every team thought they knew what they were like, all right, I saw what the last team did.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it. This Messi guy, they ain't even marking him. So I'm going
to. Surely he can't do that to me also.
And to everyone's surprise, he did. He did do it to them. And but Nashville, I think, did the best job of just like neutralizing him as much as you
they
could.
They really, really did. But even like League's Cup, the prior match, like Zimmerman had a great match. Mm-hmm. Like it was just, there's little to be done. And I think that's one of the things that people are missing that are like new to League's Cup, MLS or otherwise. He had like four defenders on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, at which point, it's not that they're simply bad, which I'm sure that if you could watch it, you would just oversimplify it and be like, oh yeah, they just don't know how to defend, which sometimes, you know, they get caught out. But for this match, that just simply wasn't the case. Like Messi has a way of being messy. He finds holes, even if it seems microscopic to everybody else, and he'll exploit it.
Yeah. I mean, the goal that he scored, I mean, he also hit the post on another shot of like, where like Dax McCarty
What's that post defensive stat now? It's probably better than some of the other players that have actually faced Messi.
Well, it was they brought the post from the U.S. Portugal game actually, and they put it there. So the post has some experience.
Two big saves from the post.
So even the one that he hit the post, it was like, you know, you could tell essentially they weren't man marking Messi, but they were like, it was like mostly Dax McCarty's responsibility, which is also just a great McCarty Messi, you know, the battle where you love to see. It's just that you can't even, you don't even think about it.
Messi was, boy, he lost sleep worrying about Dax McCarty.
But Dax is the homie.
Former Red Bull great Dax McCarty.
Dax was I think it was like a throw-in, and Dax is like looking away for a second because Messi is always walking. He never moves, right? And then he's moving faster than everybody else, right? And that's why he ended up hitting the post. But the goal was just, you have Walker Zimmerman on him. You have Dax McCarty on him. You have Lovitz, I think, is like about to make a challenge. Everybody knows, oh shit, Messi has the ball. We know what our job is.
Walker got a bite of it.
Walker got a touch to it. Honestly, he did such a great defensive job. Like he hit, which also just to take the ball off of Messi, he's like, the crowd cheered every time Messi lost the ball or somebody put in the challenge and he like they got the ball or he made a bad pass. They're like, yeah,
let's go.
Yes, we did it.
We can't believe it actually happened.
Lift the trophy now. But if you see that goal in slow motion, and there's somebody, I think Matt Doyle retweeted it, but there's in slow motion, Walker Zimmerman gets just a slight deflection on the ball. And for any normal human footballer, this would put the player in disarray. They'd be like, oh no, I had control, but now he hit the ball and the ball hit off of me. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, I don't know what to do next. It looked like Walker Zimmerman played a 1-2 off of Messi's shin to be like, yo, I'm gonna set you up for like a perfect pass. But within inches of each other. So Walker gets a touch on the ball, it hits Messi, and it sets the ball up for him perfectly to get the goal and hit the ball around three defenders. And the goalkeeper, what is he going to do?
Yeah, he wasn't even in a bad position. He was right in the middle of the goal.
He was a position, well, he probably couldn't see the ball like exactly when it first sort of took flight. But it's unexplainable. I mean, the conversation comes up again. We talked about this before. Does Messi being this good make MLS look bad? And we asked this question and in jest, really. And some people are like, and they people subtweet us, bro. They do it because some people are like, man, I see people in the media asking if Messi is making MLS just. At us, bro. At us.
Give us the engagement. That's all we want, bro.
We're kind of joking around, but
also Messi has made every league he's been in look stupid.
Yeah.
So why would MLS be the exception? Like, have you watched the man's career? Like, he did it in Ligue 1 too.
Yeah.
It's a look. Is it going to help or hurt the kind of bias about Major League Soccer? Probably not. Who cares?
Both?
Do you want him to fail here? Like, what's the better outcome?
No, I legitimately think that this is a kind of situation, Messi particularly, that is just going to be confirmation bias.
Sure.
Whatever it is that you wanted to see, you're going to see and you're going to argue it. That's going to be your hill you die on. And that's fine. But some of the takes are just absolutely crazy on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. I did take pause though for a minute. I was like, am I referring it to the platform in the wrong way?
Right.
I don't care. But yeah, it's whatever they want it to be because, you know, that's the internet is your oyster.
Yeah. So, I think this game overall had a intensity. I was anxious watching the game.
Oh, yeah, like the atmosphere.
I mean, again, credit to Nashville because a lot of the stadiums that Messi has played in, it's been maybe 50-50. Fans sell their tickets. Yeah. They get, and then you see a bunch of pink jerseys in the stands. And there was some of that. There were some people cheering Messi on. But for the most part, it was a hostile environment.
Nashville legit is a soccer city. Yeah. And okay. I think that people don't give it enough credit for what it is.
I haven't been yet.
They're like loud and proud yeah. as a gang. They also have really good players. Like, it's not like Hani that Mukhtar team is great. like a side of like nobody's. Okay. Like right, Mukhtar is amazing. You got Fafa out there who Fafa will score goals. Okay. Like trust in him by all means. Walker Zimmerman. Who else? Like it just, it's not.
Yeah. No, it's a strong
side.
I
understand that a lot of people who are new to MLS or Leagues Cup are going to be like, who's this guy?
Right. Yeah, right. Like, I mean, look, we all know probably.
Like who's Alex Moyle?
MLS like, Leagues Cup probably wanted Monterrey to
of course.
Have this game.
I mean, for sure, like Liga MX were definitely probably punching air.
Right.
Not the intention.
Yeah,
to have
but
MLS
this was. I think this was the tougher matchup for Miami. I mean, I think they would have gone through Monterrey a lot easier than Nashville. Nashville were seriously, they were really amazing, yeah. And they 100% they probably deserved to win this game. The penalties were just wild.
And then Messi is a cheat code.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I thought everybody did so well on penalties. Even the younger players, it took unbelievably confident penalties. He ended up going to the goalkeeper. Drake Callender was unreal. Victor Ulloa, who missed the penalty for Miami, who we've had on the show a couple years ago.
You have him back on to be like, ha-ha, you missed that pen.
No, but
boy.
It's just every time, whenever we have a player on the show and they like miss a shot or miss a penalty, I'm just like, no.
Was it you?
Anybody.
I would literally just blame my Cooligans. Honestly, I'm going to put this in my notes right now. Blame Cooligans' appearances on all of my life missteps.
So remarkable, but huge. I'm curious what the rest of the season looks like for Inter Miami. Obviously, they have a huge mountain to climb to make it to the playoffs. But since Messi has arrived, they have not lost a game. They've been remarkable. So you would think that if they can just kind of keep this up, and if you saw the press conference that he did, he said that he's going to play on turf.
I'm like, I feel like that's a little bit like your union and crossing the picket line on that one. Because
Messi.
How are you gonna leave your guys down bad? Like nobody wants to play on turf. Nobody should have to play on turf.
Oh, so you
like
think
that.
He should force them to put grass
yes.
down?
Yes.
Okay.
Like why wouldn't you nobody's gonna tell Messi no. Yeah. Why wouldn't you use that moment to advocate for
that's
everybody else in the league? And I don't say this only as a person with one leg right now.
Yeah. We should mention Christina, we've gotten confirmation you have torn your ACL and MCL.
And both Menisci. Both my menisci.
And she's here doing the show for you. Okay?
Yeah, never never would leave you guys down bad.
Okay. Yeah, so that's it's an interesting thing. I was surprised that he said he was going to play. And then it's interesting to use that like power to kind of force the league to.
I don't think that he lacks awareness of his capability to change things on a dime. And so I don't think that it was intentionally malicious in some way to be like, hey, I played as a kid on turf. Like we can continue to play on turf. No big deal. But I do think that somebody probably should have gotten in his ear to be like, hey, bud, this is something that we've been trying to push for a while.
Let me whisper here.
So
let me come to you on the day of my daughter's wedding. Like, we need you to help us out a bit.
It's interesting because when Felipe Cárdenas asked him in the press conference about like his influence over the sport in this country, he kind of didn't do that. He didn't do the like, I want to have the influence Pele had. He's just like, yeah, I just want to come in and play.
So, but like counter, I feel like he is capable of knowing it, but
saying it
makes him sound a little douchey.
Maybe. Yeah. because Messi has never really been.
He's always been very quiet.
A public advocate of almost anything.
Great, right.
Yeah.
And like, I don't mind that he doesn't serve as a public advocate. Not every player or person comfortable being in a situation of being, you know, in the spotlight like that. And he's totally comfortable, obviously, being the footballer that he is. I don't want to push on him that he should also be a very loud and proud public advocate.
Yeah.
But I do think that with that comes a certain understanding that, you know, you can still do things behind the scenes that would benefit the people in the league that you're in.
Messi's just doing little Wakanda Forevers. That's not enough? But yeah, I'm curious to see what the next couple years are going to look like of what influence will he have. Is it simply just business and more eyeballs, or is it actually going to sort of change? Maybe other players are going to be like, you know, just like when Beckham arrived and then we got all these new stadiums and new clubs and investment, Messi's going to change something drastically. I don't know if it'll exactly be grass at every stadium.
I agree with you. But. And I kind of had early on when Messi was signed, tweeted about how, you know, I think that Messi is going to be the largest impact player since Beckham. And I got a whole bunch of replies that were like, well, what about this person? What about this person? Like, right. No. See, you're misunderstanding. I'm talking about the massive butterfly effect their coming to MLS, which I do think Messi will, but we're only able to talk about even Beckham's impact in retrospect, right? He took a massive gamble in requesting for the first time ever of a league that he wanted to eventually be an owner in a league that was still nascent, that you hadn't really seen the results, impact, revenues from, but he still wanted in. And so he either saw something or was an elite level gambler at that juncture in his life that kind of brought us to this, you know, sort of messy everything that we're seeing, which is fine, right? But I do think, for me at least, I'm feeling a bit messy fatigue just because everything seems to be about Messi and it's overshadowing a lot of players that are super talented that deserve their shine. Mm-hmm. Everything now is about going up against Messi, who's facing Messi, tickets to see Messi. I get it because he's an absolute legend in the making, I'll say, because he's not done with his career yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that he still has much to do. But I think in a lot of ways it overshadows things that I wish were still getting more coverage than clicks and picks.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I think maybe, you know, we'll see that that light being sort of shined on the league probably after he leaves. He's going to take up a lot of the spotlight.
And I know. For his duration, which is great. And I just hope that more of the positivity comes from his playing in the league. He's certainly changing the play amongst his teammates. He's definitely making them better. That's something that's clear and obvious to anyone that's watched Inter Miami play. In the time before Messi, we're going to call it the BM. After Messi, the
BM, but bowel movement, I guess.
We'll workshop that, okay?
We're still figuring it out.
You know, need to come up and send it out to the group.
In the before Messi times. But yeah, like it's very encouraging to see what his teammates have managed to pick up on.
Sure.
And, you know, that's the kind of impact that you want, right? Now we just need to figure out how to spread that more evenly over the other sides. Because you're not going to get, what, like a Messi per team? Like, that's an impossible task.
I would. That's what I would do.
Yeah, and blow your budget. Get a one-time generational player. It's not that hard.
Well, okay. Robert Taylor for MVP.